Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
By them I have continually offended you, and verily Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
A little while, and you will see me no longer.
And again, a little while, and you will see me.
I will extol you, my God and King.
And bless your name forever and ever.
Every day I will bless you.
And praise your name forever and ever.
The Lord is gracious and merciful.
Slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love.
All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord.
And all your saints shall bless you.
My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord.
And let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever.
The minds of your faithful to be of one will. Grant that we may love what you have commanded and desire what you promise, that among the many changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed where true joys are found. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The first reading for the fifth Sunday of Easter is from the book of Acts, the 8th chapter. An angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found him at Azotus, and as he passed through, Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let everything that has breath praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise God in the sanctuary.
Praise Him in His mighty heavens.
Praise Him for His mighty deeds.
Praise Him according to His excellent greatness.
Praise Him with trumpet sound.
Praise Him with lute and harp.
Praise Him with tambourine and dance.
Praise Him with strings and pipe.
Praise Him with sounding cymbals.
Praise Him with loud crashing cymbals.
Let everything that has breath praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Let everything that has breath praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
The second reading is from the first letter of St. John, the 4th chapter. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you
is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world. Therefore, they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world, so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loves us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he does not love his brother. He who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brother. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. John, the 15th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty. begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for our sin and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I will look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Christ from John 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. This is our text. Aside from one or two people that may have some hobby grapevines,
I don't know that any of us here are particularly familiar with vines and branches in terms of growing grapes, but I know that we have plenty of people who have some experience in farming or in gardening. And what is it that all of them want, a vine dresser, a farmer, or a gardener? It's pretty obvious, I think. All of them want a nice harvest. All of them want a good crop. Now, to someone who's never worked the ground before, that may sound like a simple task. It's not. Producing a good crop is the most difficult part of the job. A row full of carrots, a tree loaded with cherries, a nice cluster of grapes require hard work, long hours, and very dirty hands. It involves planting, pruning, cutting, thinning, weeding, watering, fertilizing, and fighting off insects and disease. And even then, you still have to wait, and you have to pray that you get enough sun and enough rain. It's no wonder that vine dressers, farmers, and gardeners are so focused on the fruit, so worried about the crop that they grow. That's their business. That's how they feed their families. That's how they earn a living. And so they carefully cultivate their fields. They tend their plants to produce the best harvest year after year after year. In the Christian life, in your Christian life, as in farming, good fruit is important and necessary. Jesus told the Pharisees and the Sadducees, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. St. Paul, in the book of Galatians, names what he calls the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. As Christians, there should be good fruit hanging from us, hanging from our hands, from our lips, from our minds. Good fruit is anything done in faith according to the Ten Commandments, for God's glory and for the good of our neighbor. You heard in John 15 how Jesus also speaks about fruit in today's reading. Actually, you might say he gives the big picture. He says there's a vine, there's a vine dresser, and there are fruitful and unfruitful branches. And he explains how all of these are related to each other. As you hear the reading, as you think about the reading, pay attention, because it's important that each of us know our place in the vineyard. It's important that we recognize who we are, that we understand how we're connected to it. So here's a real brief tour of that vineyard. Take a look at the place where all the good fruit is produced. This is how it's laid out. I am the vine, Jesus says. I am the vine. And my Father is the vine dresser. He's the farmer. He's the gardener. He goes on and says, I am the vine. You are the branches. It's important that we know who we are. We are the branches of the true vine, Jesus Christ, being tended by the vine dresser Father. And the thing here to keep in mind, first of all, is this, that it's the vine dresser Father who is concerned about producing the fruit. He is the one who cuts out the dead wood. He's the one who trims back the sickly and damaged branches so that they can bear more fruit. Good fruit is the end result. But I do wonder, if we are the branches, is that the main thing we need to be worried or concerned about? If we are the branches, then is our job to put the focus on the good fruit? Some people might think so. Some people think that being a Christian is simply about being a good person and doing good things. Now, far be it from me to tell you not to be a good person or not to do good things. But I want you to be thinking that that's not all it means. Because if that was all it meant to be a Christian, then I could stand up here and just give you a list of instructions on how to live your life. I could tell you what to do and what not to do, and then send you out to do the work of producing good fruit. As if all we need to do to get a good crop is to tell the branches to bear good fruit. I can tell you right now, if I go out to my apple trees and my peach tree and tell them to bear good fruit, speak to those branches, it's not going to make any difference. Because that's not how it works. Now, I'm not saying that the Christian faith is uninterested in how we live. It has a lot to say about how we live our lives. For one thing, there are the Ten Commandments. We've been reviewing those before service. You shouldn't have any other gods. You shouldn't misuse the Lord's name. Don't disregard his word. Honor your father and your mother and other authorities. Don't hurt anyone. Lead a chaste and decent life in what you say and do. Don't take things that aren't yours. Don't tell lies. Don't desire what belongs to your neighbor. That is God's good and perfect law, and we do need to hear it. But the law isn't primarily there to bring about good fruit in our lives. It's primarily there to show us our sin. That is, the Ten Commandments can identify a bad crop. The Ten Commandments can identify fruitless branches. But they won't produce any grapes. Producing grapes is something a dead and sickly branch can't do, even with the best instructions. So if you focus only on the fruit, if you make the Christian life into a moral code or instructions about how to live, then you've made a big mistake. You've made a big mistake because that's not your job. Remember who you are. You are branches. And remember who the vine dresser is. Not you. It's your Father in heaven. The fruit is his business. It's his work. And so we leave it to him to produce the crop with whatever painful pruning or cutting he must do in our lives. And he does it. You know it. By his word, he does prune us back. He does cut us. By our brothers and sisters in Christ and others with whom we live, he prunes us and cuts us back as we come to see our sin. And by our suffering in this world, he prunes us as well. But notice what Jesus says in this passage about bearing fruit. It's not so much that he commanded it. He didn't say, "You are the branches, bear fruit." He promised it. He gave a 100% guarantee about how good fruit comes to be. Abide in me, and I in you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. What I mean is this. You must learn to think not like a gardener, but you must learn to think like a branch. You must learn to think not like a gardener, but you must learn to think like a branch. Your Father in heaven has the whole gardener part covered. That's his job. So what is the most difficult thing about being a branch? It isn't bearing fruit. Producing the crop may challenge and confound the gardener, but for a branch that is healthy, bearing good fruit is easy. It's natural. It's what a branch does. For a branch that is attached to the vine, it will bear good fruit. It will grow grapes. No, the most difficult part of being a branch is remaining connected to the vine. The most difficult part about being a branch is undergoing the pruning and remaining connected. The word that Jesus used repeatedly in the passage today is the word abide. Remain. Abide in me. You branches, whatever age you might be, whatever your position in life is, you are called to this, to abide in Jesus Christ. It means don't become detached from your Lord. You and I have seen it happen how many times? People who become detached from the Lord. Perhaps The branch first gets broken a little bit, but it's still connected. But over time, it weakens and weakens until it dies. He is the true vine. And apart from him, you will bear no fruit and you will have no life. And in fact, we can even say that the good things that many people do aren't really fruit at all if they aren't connected to him. And if a person is concerned about fruit but neglects the words of Jesus, if you're only concerned about the good things you have to do but you forget these words, abide in me, then you've missed the whole point. The reason Jesus tells you to abide in him is because he knows what you're up against. He knows that it's not easy to be a Christian. He knows that it's not easy to remain a Christian. And he knows that it won't get any easier as time goes on. The devil, the world, sometimes even our own family and friends, and certainly our sinful nature, are against Christ and against you. A lot of this comes to my mind because 3 weeks from now, 6 of our young people will be going through the rite of confirmation. On May 19th, we will all acknowledge the difficulty of being a Christian. And we will acknowledge these enemies. They will be asked to renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways. They will confess the Apostles' Creed, making a public statement before family and friends and you and God himself that they are branches of the true vine, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Son as one God forever. They've been studying the Old and New Testament scriptures because they know that these scriptures contain everything we need to know about the vine and about being branches. And as we study God's word, as we hear God's word, as we pray God's word, we abide in Jesus. And they will make promises, promises that are as serious as life and death. Those promises are made not by their own power, but by the grace of God in Christ Jesus, because they are as they are attached to him. And the promises, the questions all boil down to this: do you intend to abide in me, that is Jesus, even to death? Do you intend to remain in me, to remain in my word and sacraments, to live according to them, and to confess the true Christian faith? And the answer is, I do, by the grace of God. By the grace of God. A reminder that we Christians of all ages are often tempted to abandon or to break these promises. We are often tempted to see our life as a life that is separate from the life of the vine, Jesus. So we are to strive to remain in Christ. And yet we also know this, that the work of God has already connected these 6 young people, and the word of God has already connected you to Christ. You are branches. Not those who want to be branches or hope to be branches or want to make yourself into branches, but you are branches. And it is God's work to keep you in Christ. And it is God's work to bring out an excellent harvest in you. The bigger picture is this: the Father, the vine dresser, wanting a good harvest, planted a perfect seed. And he put that perfect seed into the womb of the Virgin Mary. It was his Son, Jesus Christ, true vine of the human race. When every other vine and branch was sickly and dead, God began with his Son. And that vine grew, and it gathered branches, and it wrapped around the cross for your sins, and it was buried in the grave. And then on the 3rd day, it sprouted again, stronger than ever, to extend its reach into every corner of the earth. Jesus Christ is the true vine. He is the true vine who vines here at our Savior through his word and his sacraments, attaching you to himself that you might be branches of him. Abide in him. Abide in his gracious invitation. Abide in the forgiveness he gives. Abide in the life and salvation that he provides. In other words, he invites you to remain right where you are now, right where God has put you, in him. He invites you to hear his word, to draw strength and nourishment from him. He invites you to take the sap from his veins, his blood that flowed from the cross, present in the chalice. You are baptized. You are branches. Your life is connected to Jesus the vine. Live not in your own works, but in his work, in his fruit, in his forgiveness, and let him do his work in you and have his way in your life, because he made the promise. If you abide in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. This is the confidence that we have, that Christ will bear fruit in us. And so we can say, if I remain in Christ, if I abide in him, if I am connected to the vine, it's certain that for his sake, my vocation in life, my calling at home, my life in school, my employment, my life as a husband or wife or friend or worker, and my works are acceptable to God and are precious fruit in his sight. For his sake, the sake of Christ. For he is the vine, you are the branches, and he stretches out into the world, he stretches out to you, and attached to him, you are clean, you are forgiven, and you will be fruitful. In Jesus' name. The peace that passes all understanding guards your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the church on earth, that she would be protected from all false teaching and the spirit of the Antichrist, and that she would always confess Christ come in the flesh, remaining faithful to him, our only true God, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For God's people, that as branches of the vine, all sin and dead works would be pruned and cut off from them, and that drawing life from the Son, they would continually produce the fruits of faith and good works, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who have received calls into the office of the holy ministry, that the Lord would fill their mouths with his word and their hands with his gifts, and for the congregations they will serve, that they would abide in Christ, the true vine, especially for Paul Hams and Grace Lutheran in Wayne, Nebraska, Kevin McGlattery and Zion in Orange, Connecticut, Michael Scarda and Redeemer in Lebanon, Connecticut, and Gabriel Strawn and Redeemer in Gorham, Maine. And for Italian seminarians Joshua Salas, Lorenzo Moroni, and Louise Lang, that they would be well prepared for service in the harvest field, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For God's people, that as branches of the vine, we might produce the fruits of faith and good works. For our sister, Sue Morrell, that the Lord would bless her time in Australia with family and bring her safely here again. For all expectant mothers and their unborn children, especially Jillian and Liz, that they would be kept in good health. And for all who serve in the military, that they would serve with integrity and honor and be protected from all harm and danger. Let us pray to the Lord. For all those in need of baptism, that nothing would prevent them from being welcomed into God's kingdom and given everlasting life, let us pray to the Lord. For our president and all in authority, that they may serve honorably and in accord with God's good order, let us pray to the Lord. For all who bear the cross in suffering and affliction, especially for Bobby and Carol, Mona, Kate, Debbie, Blair, Charlie, Graham, Karen, Kristen, Marie, Mark, Rick and Teresa, Ron and Mayu, Sue, and Verity. And for Mary Lou, John, Janine, Tim, and all who mourn the deaths of Burke and Peter, that they would ever look to the Lord and so fix their hearts where true joy is found. Let us pray to the Lord. For all who come to God's feast of love, that they may worthily eat of Christ's body and blood, abiding in this love of God and God in them. Let us pray to the Lord. Heavenly Father, you are gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Hear and answer our prayers for the sake of Jesus Christ, and your saints shall bless you, for you live and reign with the Holy Spirit, ever one God, now and forever. And salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, and most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death, and by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
oh,
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Today's reading is from Lamentations chapter 3, starting at the 22nd verse. "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good a man is to bear the yoke of his youth. Let him sit alone in silence when it is laid on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him strike his cheek to the one who strikes, and let him be filled with insults. For the Lord will not cast off forever, but though he cause grief, he will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he does not afflict his heart or grieve the children of men. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness.
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Wondrous sacrament, you have given us a remembrance of your passion. Grant that we may so receive that sacred mystery of your body and blood, that the fruits of your redemption may continually be manifest in us. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
His countenance upon you and give you peace.